Well, God said, or the Bible said, or really Jesus said this, because it's written in red in the Bible, and anything written in red, Jesus said it. He said, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. Having the faith of God means to have the God kind of faith. What kind of faith did God have? Well, you go into Hebrews and it tells us that the faith that God had was a faith that actually spoke. And when he spoke, he had already framed in his mind exactly what he wanted as a world and the people he wanted in this world. God thought about you before you could even think, before you was even born. God had you in mind. He waited for you. That's how important you are. Before anything ever happened, he out of nothing spoke. And whatever he spoke, this is why I know that whatever God spoke, if we will believe it in faith, that it will come to pass now in our life just as we are. You know, we're created in his image. God spoke, and when he spoke, the worlds were. And in those 7 days of creation, God spoke things into existence. And so you can go back and read that. But what did he use in order to speak this world into existence? Now, if you try to separate the words that Jesus spoke and separate faith, if you take faith out of that, see, that's the God kind of faith. But if you take that faith out of there, then we can't operate in faith and we can't have the things that God has spoken already, and he's waiting on us to confess it with our mouth and speak into this world, and the power that God has will come through us through faith. And when we release that faith, it will go into the world and it will create things. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. Because the faith that God has is the faith that he framed, he spoke, and it came to pass. Well, you know, faith is something you can't see. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 4 times in the Bible, Jesus said, or the Bible says, Jesus said some of this, but the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is not what you see. If you're waiting for something to come to pass or for you to see something, it's not faith. Faith is seeing something that is not manifest in the physical realm, but God has already spoken it. And you can take anything God has already spoken in the Bible, where pertaining to life, pertaining to godliness, and by faith, believing in what Jesus said in his words, we can speak the same thing and it will come to pass every time. Now, you've got to get the fact that it comes to pass every time. But there is a catch to this. One of them is that you've got to do it in faith. So how do we know that we have real Bible faith? Let's go to the Bible and let's study and let's see how that we can have faith in God and what faith really is. That's the title of this message. What faith really is. What faith really is. And so what is faith? The Bible gives us a definition. It's the only definition we have in the Bible for faith. And the definition of faith says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the evidence of things we don't see. Faith is the substance of hope. Faith is the substance of hope. This word substance means confidence. You see anything in Scripture, read anything in Scripture, by stripes I'm healed. I can have, my faith is the confidence that by his stripes I'm healed. But first, you can't have a hope unless you have a promise concerning God's word. So let's look at it this way. Faith is the substance or the confidence of things that are hoped for. Now that hope, listen to this very carefully. There's 3 things I want you to remember about hope. One is, now the hope is something you set. The hope is something that you make a decision Just like I was in the studio yesterday, and all of a sudden I had such an overwhelming faith for three cameras. Three cameras, not two, but three. And I looked at Bill and I said, Bill, I just have faith for three cameras. I told John, I said, John, I have faith for three cameras. Now that just rose up on the inside of me. I can see three cameras. And I know there's some other equipment that we've got to get before we get the cameras. But I can see three cameras. I don't know when. I don't know exactly how. But I do see, I have confidence that we are going to have not two cameras, but three cameras. We need three cameras. One for a wide shot, another two to go back and forth from guest to guest. And really make it a powerful program. Cameras are coming down in cost, by the way. Isn't that good news? We can get better cameras today than we could have gotten 10 years ago. We'd have had to pay, it's no telling what we'd have had to pay, up into thousands of dollars for cameras. But today we can get a camera that'll do the same thing and better for a lot less money than what we could just 5 years ago or 2 years ago. So I can have the faith or the confidence. Now, that hope is a favorable, everybody say favorable. Confident, everybody say confident. Expectation. The favorable, see, hope is not hoping in something that's not favorable. That's not hope. That's not the hope we're talking about. We're talking about a hope in what God has already said, how he's already set everything up to work by faith. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Okay? And the Bible tells us in Mark 11:22, it says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. So have the God kind of faith. So it's important for us to know what faith is. How does it really work? Well, if we take the thermostat that's on the wall back here, and let's say that it's 80 degrees in here, which it's not. Thank God. 80 degrees in here, and all of a sudden, we want the temperature in this room to be 72 degrees. That thermostat cannot cool anything. It's just on the wall. That thermostat can't do anything, but you have to see this room becoming 72 degrees before you will ever take your faith and go up there and set what you want this room to be. But the power behind it is the unit outside. Now, if something's disconnected from the unit outside, that thermostat won't cool anything, it won't heat anything, because the power is outside. Well, God is our power. The thermostat is our hope, because it gives us a favorable expectation, confident expectation, and that comfortable, favorable, confident expectation is that this room would be cooled to 72 degrees so that we could be comfortable. So the thermostat by itself won't cool the room, but the power in that unit out there called the compressor, which is the heart of the unit, when it comes on, it will furnish the means by which we set that thermostat, that hope and that expectation, and we go up there and by faith we turn it on, and then we expect what we hope. By faith we turn it on and expect what we hope, then God does the rest. Amen? If something is disconnected, if the thermostat's not connected to the power source, in other words, if we're hoping in things that are, we're just hoping for, that's what the world defines hope, is just something that we really don't expect, but it's something that might come to pass if we just hope enough, you know. That's not that confident, favorable expectation. But the favorable expectation is that it be nice and comfortable in this room, and the way we do that is we decide in our mind, and in our heart, we decide that we want to be comfortable because it's too hot in here. We go up to the hope and turn the hope set it. In other words, it's your decision. Do you remember what Andrew gave us as an explanation? There is a power source that comes from Duke Power Company or Concord Power Company, however it is. I guess it's Concord Power. At one time, you had to request and had to make a deposit and open up your account. That means you get saved and everything else is available to you. And there is a price to pay, by the way, when you do get saved, because you got to live this life and you got to deny the flesh and you got to take up the cross and you got to walk in what God wants you to walk in. That is the cost of living a Christian life. However, the benefits are a lot better. It's a lot better to have lights in your house at night so you can get around in the dark than it is to be in the dark and not have light. It's better for you to live life in the light of Jesus Christ and not have to walk around in darkness, even though you can see with your physical eyes. So, with your faith, you set the thermostat and it brings it down to a comfortable temperature. Now, that's what we favorably expect in this room. I think that's what it said on 72. We got a new hope, a new thermostat on the wall, and you can see it better. Hallelujah. Well, now that's what faith is. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, a favorable and a confident expectation, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go back to the story and finish it about the lights. The power company provides us with a light, but we don't call the power company every time our lights go out and say, would you come down here and fix this? Or if we want our lights turned on, for some reason we go home in the dark and go in the door, and we don't go to the phone and call the power company and say, would you come turn our lights on? No, they have already supplied the source for which is made available to us, and all we have to do is make that conscious decision to go to that light switch, turn the light on, and we favorably, confidently expect lights, unless your bulb burn out or the connection to the electricity is messed up somehow or another, you're going to get lights. That's the way it works in everything. Let me give you another example. In December of 2006, on the 15th of December, I went to the hospital in surgery, and they removed a brain tumor that was diagnosed as malignant, stage 4. That day, after the operation, the doctors came into the family. I had a year and a half to live. I'm going to tell you something. I'm living. Glory to God. And I'm as strong today as I was before I went to the hospital. Probably stronger. I know I'm stronger in my faith. They said I would not live but a year to a year and a half, and that was with radiation and chemotherapy. So what did I do? The next morning, they came in. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because this is how faith really works. I'll be honest with you, I did not know I was in a position to believe and to have the faith that I had. It was there, and I didn't even know it. I was hoping it was going to be there in one sense. I was confessing that it was there. This is how I know it was there. Oh, this is a great revelation. Whenever they came in the next morning, they said, let him kind of recover tonight. In the morning, we'll talk to him. And so when the doctors came in, the doctors told me that it really didn't look good, but they think they got most of it. They might have to go back in and do another operation because it was real strategic and it was real complicated and everything. And what did we pray for right here? We prayed that they'd get it all, for one thing. The fibers, the connections with the tumor and the connections with the brain blended in, and they couldn't tell where one started and the other one ended. But God knew exactly where they ended. How do I know I had real Bible faith? Because when he came in and he told me this news, and he didn't tell me that I wouldn't live but a year and a half. That was something I didn't find out until probably a month or two later. Jeannie told me, and I didn't know it until she told me. But they just told me this news, and it didn't look good. And I said, well, doctor, I have hope. I got a thermostat. I can go up there by my own free will, and I can set that thing to health and life and strength. And so I just took my faith my faith coming from the Word of God. See, I knew I had faith then because I didn't think about that. I didn't think, well, let me go get some faith. I didn't go to the store and buy some faith. It was in me. I mean, this is a great revelation. It was in me. Why? It's because I've been teaching faith for years. And in your case, you've been studying faith for years. And it was in me. It was a part of my life. I was walking by faith and not by sight, even though in some areas I have missed it. Anybody in here that would say I've never missed it? I had faith. And whenever I got out of there, I still had faith. I want to tell you, I was so humbled by the favor of God. I know unless you went through something like that, it'd be hard for me to describe that to you. And if you tried to describe it, if you have gone through something like that, you can't describe it either. Just humbled. When I walked out of that hospital, the doctor stopped us and says, you know what? From a stage 4, we're on a process of getting different reports until it got down to a stage 3 low grade, which means that with proper treatment, you can live out the rest of your life. Amen? But I decided not to get what they called proper treatment, radiation chemotherapy. I just decided to start taking care of my body a little better and building my immune system, alkaline in my waters. No disease can live in an alkaline body. Glory to God. I learned some things. I studied some things. But I did something that I didn't even realize I did. I entered into a rest with God that God had taken care of everything. But you see, you caught the vision with me. I don't have time to tell the whole thing, but I'll tell it this way. You caught the vision with me. You prayed with me. You stood with me, and you stood with me in faith. You saw what you wanted my life to be by going to the thermostat and turning it to the position that you had confidence, not only in my faith, but in your faith. You had the confidence, and it was a favorable outcome that you were looking for, a favorable expectation that I would not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but faith is the evidence of things we don't see. You did not see, and still, I'm telling you, we don't have a thing to worry about. Hallelujah. I'm going to live. I'm going to teach this word. I'm going to declare the works of God. But you know, if I had have come out of there listening to the doctors, listening to the Bible, listening to God, listening to people, if I'd have listened to all the different voices that was available to me or trying to influence me, it may be that we'd be planning for a funeral very soon. Because the man who wavers in his faith, don't even let him think that he's going to receive anything from God. God's the power source. He wants to. He's saying you've got to go to the thermostat. You've got to put your faith in what you want and what you can imagine or see or develop in your mind. And then you've got to stand fast on that. And not let it go, not let it slip. The Word of God is influential. And the Word of God will work in anybody's life that will put the Word to work. In other words, if I had gone to the doctor, if the doctor had told me in that room on the 16th of December 2006 that we've got bad news for you or not so good news and we've got a struggle ahead or whatever it was he said to me, if I would have listened to him and cast my confidence in the Word of God away, I never would have said, I have a thermostat. I have hope. Now, it was my responsibility to do something with my hope. I had to apply my faith to my hope. And the way I did that is I started quoting scriptures. I started praying and thanking God for my healing. I entered into a peace and a confident expectation of what God had already promised me. I just took Him at His Word. So you can't fight experience. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit of God and have spoken in tongues,
A Baptist can't come up to you, or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or anybody else come up to you and say, that's of the devil. What you do is say, hey, you know what? If that's of the devil, why didn't you tell me before I got it? In other words, why didn't you tell me before I experienced it? I've experienced healing. I've experienced walking in divine health. Because I set the thermostat, I took my faith, set that thermostat, and the reason I won't talk to these guys who want to talk doctrine or theology is because my theology's set. I am set. I'm not listening. I'm not going to listen. If I listen to that stuff, it'll cause turmoil in my life, and the Bible says that He wants us to enter into a rest. I don't need that junk. I need to enter into a rest where I'm confident with the expectation of something favorable so that I can enter into that rest. And when I enter into that rest, I'm going to guard that rest and I'm just going to rest in God. Why? It's because God is the source. He is the power. He's the one who has the power to do whatever we're putting our faith to work at. We hold up the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But you hold up that shield of faith, that same faith that goes up there and is willing. Because why? Would you go up there if we told you that thermostat don't work? In other words, you don't know if it's the will of God to heal you or not. And you go up, would you get out of your seat and go up there and turn that thing? You wouldn't go, would you? Because you wouldn't believe it worked. The Bible says we do not enter into that rest in Hebrews the 4th chapter. We do not enter into that rest because we've all heard the word. But some it did not work for because they had been preached the good news of the gospel. It is God's will to heal all the time. But the ones who did not mix their gospel, the word, with faith because they did not believe, never got up to go up to the thermostat and turn it down so that they could have a comfortable, I'm putting that in there, but a confident expectation, a favorable expectation of sitting in a room that would come down to 72 degrees. And let me tell you, if you are not entering into a rest, if you don't get into that rest, that's one way you know that you have. Because you enter into rest. It's settled. Jesus entered into a rest whenever He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He told, okay, buddies, y'all just go ahead and sleep. I got it settled. Because He entered into a rest, even though He was facing the most horrible thing that anybody could ever face. But my faith in God's Word, church, hear what I'm saying. You want to know how faith works? You want to know how faith, real faith works? You want to know what real faith is? Number one, it's just believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in what He said in His Word. And if there are doubts ever come up, go get the Word out and read it to yourself. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so therefore, set the thermostat on whatever it is that you're confident and you're favorably expecting. This don't work for other stuff. Fear will just take care of the rest of it if you want to go the other direction. If there's fear in your life, you won't have faith. That's the reason you need to enter into the rest. Because if fear is keeping you from entering into the rest, then you know you've got fear and you need to just get that rid of that fear and get into the rest. Now, another thing is that faith works by love. You got to be nice. You got to be good, and you just got to do things right. And you got to love people, and love God. Isn't that the commandment? Hallelujah! So you enter into that rest, and I had a rest and a peace about my situation, and this is powerfully important. You have to guard what you say. And why do I come in here with such confidence? Did you know that the devil wants to tell me, what if you die in a year? Or what if you die in 2 years, you know, even if you had a little extra time? That's what kind of thoughts the devil wants to plant in our minds. But when we enter into the rest, we can say, devil, you're a liar. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to God. And I will have what God says I have. I say what God says I have. Amen. And if you say anything different, listen to me, church. You have to keep the confession of faith going in your life concerning the Word of God. And if you say anything different, you could forfeit, break and sever the connection between the thermostat, your hope, and the power source, which is God, who within yourself you can't do anything, but you can do all things through Christ with that power. And if you're connected to the power of God, then you know that you have the petition that you prayed when you prayed. And you speak to the mountains in your life. And I'll be honest with you, I almost felt guilty because I wasn't praying enough. I wasn't making enough positive confessions. But I had to realize I entered into a rest. That don't mean I don't confess I'm healed. That don't mean that every time I think about this, man, I just thank God and praise God. Hallelujah. But your faith will set the thermostat, which is your hope, and God will back it all up with His power. That's the God kind of faith. That's the faith that will work in your life. And the reason I know that, I'm telling you by experience. I wish I could get, I don't believe you're getting what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to say it. But you cannot say things that are contrary to the Word of God. Amen. If you do, life and death are in the power of the tongue. My life is in the power of God because He's the one with the source. But death is in the power of the enemy because he's after your soul. He's after your health. He's after your finances. He'll take your money and won't even be able to spend it, but he'll just get it away from you. So what am I saying? You know the most powerful thing, thought that I have concerning all of this? You don't say anything. I confess to you, yes, sometime when I've confessed to you already. You know, you blessed me. You encouraged me. Why? It's because I came to you and I said, I'm healed. And then there was a little voice that says, what if you're not? It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes it's a fight. There's resistance you have to go against. But you know, the reason that I keep saying what I'm saying is not because I'm trying to convince myself. Not that the thoughts don't ever come. But one thing that's encouraging is that every time that I see you, you are believing with me and you actually lift me up whenever I'm weak. I'm glad to have you as a family. I've taught you faith. It's coming back to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that's what you have to do. Faith. Oh, glory to God. Isn't this a good sermon? Hallelujah. I've preached myself happy already. Hallelujah. If you don't guard your words concerning what you believe in your heart and the source of which you believe, then you could get off believing something else and wavering. And the Bible says don't think you're going to receive anything of God if you waver, because you've got to have your confidence in God. In other words, what you're doing is you're severing the connection between the power of God. But if we have expectation, we'll get out of our seat, go up and set that thermostat on what we wanted in here, and we will by faith believe that this air conditioner is going to work and it's going to give us our expected desire, the favorable outcome of what we're looking for. But you have to be willing, even though in your mind it tells you, I'm getting there, thank you Jesus. In my mind, I had to battle this thing, and I went ahead and I said it anyway. Why? Not because of what I was, you know, if I wouldn't waver just because the thought was there. That's a good point. That's not wavering. It's wavering when you'll speak it out of your mouth, because that's the creativity. That's the power to create. So you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from nesting in your hair. And that bird, we cast out. That's the reason it's important. And if there's anything that I could ever help you with, and one reason I am adamant on this, never go away telling somebody to take care. It's not a scriptural phrase. You understand? Just a little thing like that can lead you to watching the rest of the words you say. You know? And if you're adamant to keep on doing that, then there will be a time that you'll have to make a decision and you won't have what you need whenever you need that hope and all of a sudden it was there. I have hope. You just got to watch all your words. Let the Lord teach you. Yes, you're going to slip up. You're going to mess up. But have the God kind of faith. God would not say, take care. In fact, He's told you to cast your care upon Him. That's how you enter into the rest of God. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah.